Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The SGPN Fantasy Football Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET to claim your free bet today. We're also brought to you by IPVanish. IPVanish is the official VPN of SGPN, and they're offering 70% off if you go to ipvanish.com/SGP. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. And make sure you to check out Draft Day 2.0 starting August 9th at noon Pacific. Ryan Real Money Kramer will begin drafting for 24 hours straight. The Fantasy Football Marathon will raise money for Daryl, a loyal listener who was injured in a motorcycle accident. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draftday for more details. Welcome, everybody. This is the first official show of the Sports Gambling Podcast Best Ball Show. It's me, Emerson Beery, the Dynasty Analyst, with Andrew Robb. You'll have to tell him your Twitter handle, Robb. We'll get that set up for you shortly. But this is our first show, everybody. So we're excited to get started. We're excited to bring a different feel to the fantasy football landscape at SGPN, talk about some best ball, some DFS. Andrew, do you want to tell them a bit about yourself to start off with?
Yeah, sure. Excited to start doing this here with you. When I realized that you and I were going to be doing this together, I went through and kind of was a little creepy on your Twitter just to see what all you've done, some different takes by you. So I want to see how we were going to mesh. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I've been doing fantasy for, about 15 years now. Started to get into best ball about 3 years ago, on and off different sites. I don't know if you remember Draft, but there was an app called Draft, a few years back.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, if you're an OG, you probably were on Draft, and they got bought out, and I got real sad because there was like nowhere to do it. DraftKings has it, but there's this kind of hit or miss. So I was excited when Underdog came in and brought this out. So I've been taking a deep dive into it. This is really exciting for us with the Sports Gambling Podcast to be able to do this, reach out to some listeners and kind of do a low level for some and a high level for some. So I definitely think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And yeah, like you touched on, that's what we want to do here. We want to be a show for the newer people getting into it, and as well as the veterans, and provide some advanced strategies as well. I've been an avid fantasy football player my whole life as well. I started off in being an avid dynasty player just a few years ago, but then, a couple of years ago, the best ball, the DFS, it's addicting. It's a great bridge between gambling and fantasy football, I think. But I've been working in restaurants for 12 years. I bartend, I wait tables, manage restaurants. I just got into, I've been playing fantasy football my whole life, for the last 10 years, but I just got into content creation in the last year, started at SGPN about 2 months ago. So yeah, this is fantastic. I'm excited to get started. Bear with us. This is our first time hosting. We've been on podcasts, but if there's some awkward transitions, some pauses, we'll get better at it. We promise. uh, But yeah, thanks for checking us out, everybody. We really appreciate it. Today we're going to be talking about just an introduction to best ball for, you know, because I think a lot of people are going to be getting into it this month for the first time. August is kind of the big draft time, and DFS best ball, but I think we're going to focus a little bit more on Underdog today, and we'll get to those other sites here shortly. Just some overarching strategies, some major do's and don'ts, and maybe if we have time, maybe dive into some recent team builds as well. Just for maybe some listeners who aren't too familiar with Underdog Fantasy, Andrew, do you want to tell them about it maybe a little bit and why it's so fun?
Obviously there's everything in best ball. There's football, baseball, basketball. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff on here. Obviously for us, you know, we've honed in on the NFL. There's big tournaments that you can get into, Best Ball Mania 3. They have puppies filling up, what seems like weekly nowadays. So they range from $5. Actually, they had a Pomeranian too. That was $3. But there's $3, $5, $10. And then obviously Best Ball Mania is $25. And top prize, $2 million in Best Ball Mania 3. Second place gets $1 million. And then if you are the leader, at the end of the regular season for the points, you can also win $1 million. So, Underdog has a little bit of everything for you. They do also have just 3-person drafts, 6-person drafts, 12 people drafts that aren't actual tournaments. You can just pay to get in. And if you just win the league, then, you win a little bit of money as well. But the nice thing about Underdog is the user interface. They have so many different ways that you can use this. It's very easy to navigate. The platform itself is very easy to use when you're actually in drafting best ball stuff. It's easy to search by team, by player. You can go in there and see what everyone else around you is drafting, so you can kind of change your strategy based on that. But I mean, Underdog is just so user-friendly. They're awesome on Twitter too. They post a bunch of different stuff, constantly putting out different people's ADPs. And, there's a Josh Norris and Hayden Winks are the two analysts that work for them that I follow on Twitter. And they're constantly putting out stuff about Underdog, and when there's upcoming stuff that we don't know about, they'll always say that make sure you're paying attention. Next week we're going to be launching a new tournament, so they're bringing out all different kinds of stuff. Earlier this year they had a Superflex tournament that they brought out that just went crazy the first couple of days because people weren't drafting quarterbacks high, and then once you realize that you really needed to, the ADPs flip-flopped within like a week of each other. So it was really exciting. I can't say enough about Underdog. They sent me a free t-shirt as well. I was having issues with the app, so their like CEO David had reached out to me and was like, hey, we saw that you put it on Twitter that you're having problems, like what's going on? And so I can't say enough about them. It was awesome. They got me fixed up, sent me a free t-shirt, apologized. And, I'll be a loyal fan for as long as they're around, which I feel like will probably be a, very, very, very long time.
I completely agree. I don't know if you're familiar with Tom Strachan from Fantasy Pros.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I might be mispronouncing his last name. I apologize if I am. He's a fantastic, and he lives in the UK, and he's a best ball expert. He can't play Underdog because he lives in the UK. Mm. And Underdog is flying him out to New York next week to do on their dime to fly him out and do some Underdog drafts next week. So they are a great company. It's super exciting.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, for them to reach out like that and do that really shows, the gumption that they have. I think that they really believe in their platform, which they, very well should. But it's pretty cool that they're doing that. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And I think bettors, they don't want, fantasy football is awesome. We love it. But the bettors aren't exactly looking for that, that season long commitment that managing a roster, waivers, trades. That's not what really it's looking for. So that's why I think it's a great kind of bridge between gambling and fantasy football. People can just hop on. I did a draft this morning. I just like woke up, rolled out of bed. I was like, let's do an Underdog draft,
Mm-hmm. So yeah. And it really is. For people who don't know what best ball is, we probably should have covered that at the top here. But if you don't know what best ball is, you just know what fantasy football is and see that the two kind of go hand in hand. Essentially what it is, it's the best thing about fantasy football minus the worst thing. It's the draft. Everyone loves the draft. You love to get in, build your team, construct it, kind of play that game for however long the draft takes. And the nice thing about best ball is that you don't have to change anything. There's no waivers. If somebody gets hurt, that just is what it is. There's no refilling the team. But every week, you get your best players put into your starting lineup, essentially. So if you have, you know, 8 wide receivers, the top 3 go into your starting position. So you don't have to worry about who to play every week. You know, you're just essentially drafting, set it and forget it. You know, so for those of you who don't know what it is, it's just playing your roster essentially, and you don't have to worry about setting the lineup. So it's really nice. I know a lot of people who play fantasy football. I've actually talked to a lot of people who have never played best ball, got into it, and they're hooked. I mean, it is honestly the best thing about fantasy football, you know, is just drafting.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. It's my favorite part. So that's why, you know, Underdog, it's been addicting over the summer. I've been getting into it a ton. And if you drop in the SGPN promo code, just type in the SGPN to that promo code box in Underdog. If you deposit $100, they will match that up to $100. But diving in here, we were going to talk about some Underdog best ball strategies, some overarching ones for some of the new people who are just getting into it. Is there any just main strategies that you go into a draft with, or are you letting the draft board dictate what you're doing?
So honestly, it has changed. I started drafting as soon as the latest tournaments came out this year. And I was going kind of a little bit RB heavy to start off the year. There just seemed like a lot of value there. So I was kind of doing that, but it has definitely flip-flopped. I will go either hero RB or superhero RB. You know, and for those of you who don't know what that is, it's either drafting one elite running back and then waiting till later on in the draft, you know, after round 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there to draft my second one, you know, or superhero RB, which is drafting 2 at the very top and then waiting, you know, a very long time to do that. So that's kind of where I tend to do it nowadays. But actually, I just did a draft 2 nights ago and went extremely wide receiver heavy. I mean, I think I took 6 wide receivers to start off the draft and then didn't take another one until like round 13 or 14. So, I mean, it's fun to play around with it. But I would say hero RB and superhero RB are the ones that I tend to lean towards. How about you?
You know, I'm more of a let the board dictate what I'm doing. And what the board has dictated I'm doing this year for the most part is I'm starting running back heavy on this top. Man, just, you know, I like the big 4 wide receivers in the first round. If I can't get JT, if I can't get CMC, I like starting off with Jefferson, with Chase, Kupp, maybe, and I throw Diggs in there as well. I think those are the lineups that I think are best. But after that, you know, Saquon Barkley, Leonard Fournette, Aaron Jones in the second round, I think are great values. I'm a big Javonte Williams guy. I think Melvin Gordon's going to take a step back this season. I've been pounding that drum. I love him at that end of that second, top of the third. And that's where he's been falling lately. Alvin Kamara's he's going more and more up that draft board. But man, that was an automatic for me in the mid third. Just when you're trying to play to win, I think you take those gambles like Alvin Kamara. It kind of seemed like it was going to be maybe next season. So I like to take those kind of gambles. I was, my most exposed to player up until 2 months ago was Rob Gronkowski. That's the negatives. That's what can happen when you gamble and fail. I was like, there is no way Brady is coming back without Rob Gronkowski. And I was wrong. But I've since fixed it. I've done a lot of drafts since then. But for the beginning of the summer, I was just like round nine or 10, Rob Gronkowski every time. So that was a little bit disappointing, but yeah, I've just been starting off running back heavy. And then especially in those larger tournaments, you know, I'm just assuming I'm right when I nail it. I'm drafting just 3 to 4 running backs, and I want 8 to 10 wide receivers on my team, just because, you know, and just hoping that each week I can just get a few hits in there. So that's been my main strategy. But like I said, I really do let the draft board dictate what I do. You know, there are certainly drafts where I start off strong at wide receiver. There's draft, you know, I'll take the quarterback early. You know, like I said, I pretty much let the draft board dictate what I do.
Nice. So you said something interesting there. So you normally only take 3 or 4 running backs, like in the whole draft?
If I take them really, like a lot of drafts I've done, like Cam Akers, I'll take Cam Akers as my 3rd back in the 4th round. And at that point, I'm just assuming I nailed it. You know, and, you know, I think that's best, especially even in a 12 team league, you know, you're just playing with 11 other people who are all trying to win. If one of my big guys goes down, I'm probably not going to win anyway. So I'm just assuming I nailed my picks. I'm going to take, you know, 8 to 10 wide receivers, really just try to hit those spike week guys each week. But yeah, that's, you know, that's my main reason for doing it. Just, you know, just not betting against myself, assuming that my early picks are correct, because I think that's the best way strategy to win.
man, that is bold. And this is the nice thing about fantasy is everyone looks at it differently. Like, I'm more of a stay balanced kind of drafter. So I want to leave the draft with no less than 5 running backs. We all know running backs get hurt pretty easily. And I just don't want to take the risk of, all right, I have these 3 guys. I know they're awesome, but if they get hurt, I'm just kind of out of it. I want to still feel like I'm going to be in it. So I like to take long shots on a couple of guys towards the end of the draft. And, you know, I'll definitely take 8 or 9 wide receivers as well. I usually, you know, do like to stay balanced though. So that's interesting. You know, it's awesome. You know, Twitter, people always are posting their teams after they draft them. And I love to look at it and just look at the build. You know, what did they do? How many of each position did they draft? When did they draft him? I like to kind of hone in on that. So it's interesting to hear you say that you're cool taking just 3 or 4.
You know, most drafts, I probably do end up with 5. Most typical drafts. But like I said, if I took 3 backs in the first 4 rounds and they have different bye weeks, I'm content going with 3. Like I said, if I invest a significant pick in a running back and they go get injured, that's probably not going to happen anyway. And it's just interesting this year because it's gone so wide receiver heavy. In the past, I was always into drafting wide receivers because everyone just drafted running backs and they were drafting just ridiculously high. You know, the running back 28 was going in the 5th round. So if we were now, it's gone completely the other direction, which is why I've been going so running back heavy. It's shocking to me to see like guys like a Cam Akers, who I understand the injury risk, but being the lead running back in that offense going in the 5th round a lot of times, man, I get the risk, but man, if he hits, like, that's league winning. That's I know that's an overused term, but that's a league winner.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of Cam Akers, you know, that's somebody that's interesting to me because good offense, they like to run the ball there, they like to pound it, but obviously he's had his injuries here. So how do you feel about Darrell Henderson? You know, if you miss out on Akers, are you willing to maybe take Henderson as your last guy, since he's same offense, same kind of running back in my eyes, and obviously isn't any less or more injury prone than Akers?
Henderson is a guy, once his name starts popping up in those next 10 to 12 names, he's one of those guys I've been clicking, you know, him, Jamal Williams, guys who, you know, handcuffs to running backs who are oft injured, like DeAndre Swift and Cam Akers. Those are definitely great late round dart throws. Jamal Williams is my favorite one in that range. I've been, you know, every time he comes up, I've been drafting him. I've been getting super high exposure. But Darrell Henderson, I mean, he showed us last year that he can be super productive in that offense. They showed us in the playoffs that I think they really do. They love Cam Akers. Yeah, for whether we agree with it or not, they're big Cam Akers. You know, Sean McVay loves Cam Akers. I certainly think if he's healthy, he's going to get the first crack. You know, he's going to get the bulk of the carries, unless he really, you know, the playoffs, that 2 yards a carry continues into this season. But Darrell Henderson is a great throw, and if Cam Akers isn't himself, that's a great guy. You know, in a Rams offense, lead running back, that's going to be a lot of points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
All right, so diving into the next question here, is there any strategies you would say that for people who may be just doing a few underdog drafts, as opposed to maybe, you know, is there different strategies you would say necessarily when you're just doing a few drafts versus if you're just, you know, if you're doing hundreds of drafts?
I don't think it's too different in my eyes. There's probably 2 things that I can think of off the top of my head that I would definitely be conscious of. One would be keep an eye on bye weeks. If you're drafting a bunch of teams, I don't really worry about it. Like, I mean, I'm going to draft as many teams as I can. I'd like to be over 100 at the end, when it's all said and done. So I'm going to not worry about bye weeks too much. But if you're honestly only putting in maybe 10 teams, definitely be conscious of bye weeks. You know, you don't want to get yourself out of a league because you drafted, 8 guys by week, 14, which I think this year's, that's by NATO, I believe, is by 14. There's so many teams on bye that week. So that's one thing, just keep an eye on the bye weeks. Make sure you don't, run yourself out of it by not paying attention to that. The other thing, again, is to me, it's stay balanced. Try to draft balanced teams. You know, the 2 quarterback, 6 running back, 8 wide receiver, 2 tight end, or maybe 2 quarterbacks, 5 running backs, 8 wide receivers, 3 tight ends. You know, don't get too wonky with it. I'd stay balanced if you're only going to have a few teams in there. Again, if you're doing 100 to 150, get crazy with it. Go 3 QB. Never go full QB. You never go full 4 QB. Okay. I am fully against that. ever. You know, I'm fully against that. I don't see the value outside of super flex leagues of taking four quarterbacks, even if you wait, you know, towards the end of the draft and want to take three, that's fine. Three is cool. I'm not an advocate for four. But yeah, so again, just stay balanced. You know, that's for the people who are only drafting a few, you know, don't get too crazy with it, in my opinion.
You know, I totally agree with that. You know, definitely you want to be, yeah, exactly. You don't want to get too crazy. Everyone talks about unique lineups. You don't need to get too unique if you're just doing 5 to 10 drafts. You know, my biggest thing though is, you know, if you're just doing 5 to 10 drafts, you can really, you know, the guys that you love, draft them. Get your guys, you know, and you can kind of, you don't have to expose yourself to the guys that you don't like that much. You know, you can go a little bit more off your rankings, especially if you don't have that much high stakes into it. But when you are playing in one, you know, 100, 200 leagues, you know, just get it, you know, ridiculous amounts, I think it is important to expose yourself to a lot of different players, even players that you aren't fans of. Just considering, you know, how wrong we are sometimes about the fantasy football landscape, it's important. There is almost no player, and especially in the top 150 players, that you should have no, like, zero roster percentage of if you're in, you know, 100 plus leagues. You definitely want to be drafting, you know, getting differences, creating unique lineups, making things a little bit different, especially if you're in these larger entry leagues. You don't want to be making just the same lineup each time. You want to be differing it up a little bit. If you've been going running back heavy like I have been, I've been making a conscious effort in my puppy tournaments to be going a little bit more wide receiver heavy these last couple of weeks. I know that I've been just hammering running back early, Javonte Williams, Saquon Barkley, and Breece Hall, in the first three of my first four picks. And, you know, I think those guys are going to have great seasons. That's why I'm drafting them there. But I also want to be conscious that wide receivers did, you know, the high end running backs, they lost last season. If you were significantly invested in the RB1s last season, it probably did not work out for you. Doubt with COVID. It just seemed like every running back was missing in the fantasy playoffs. If you went wide receiver heavy, it was definitely the winning strategy last year. I'm going to slide into another promo though. If you're thinking of joining WinBet, now's the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get $100 bet. If you're betting baseball, you have to check out WinBet. Their reduced juice in baseball games make them the best place to bet MLB. Plus, the WinBet Casino is always open 24 hours a day, where you can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WinBet so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WinBet is available. If you are someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And those are kind of what we're talking about there. You know, I'm going to learn how to slide in those promos a little bit easier. I was getting, you know, we have these mid rolls. I was uncomfortable. I was like, man, we got to throw this out there. So we'll get a little better at the transitions and everything. But I just wanted to throw out one other promo for us there. But you know, that's one of the things that I definitely think about though. You just the people, I try to give advice to both people because not everybody's doing 100 leagues. I see people on fantasy Twitter talking about just like, you know, these just extra eccentric lineups where I've drafted George Kittle, Mark Andrews, and Kyle Pitts. And this is the most, you know, no one is going to have this lineup. So I like to give my best. Like, that's probably not good advice to the average person who's just doing 10 to 15 drafts this year.
Yeah, no, definitely. The other thing, you were talking about drafting people you like and stuff. And I'm all about, if you're going to draft a little bit, you know, only 8, 10, 12 teams, whatever, have fun with it. You know, you're spending your hard earned money on something. Have fun with it. You know, don't go crazy and just like get stressed out about it. Have fun. You know, if you want to use your fandom and draft some of your favorite players, you know, a little early, I'm totally fine with that. You know, it's if you're here to honestly just win it, you have to set your fandom aside and you have to try to pick, you know, the best players available, you know, construct your roster. But again, you know, if you want to use your fandom and pick players that you like just because you like them, that's completely fine with me. You know, there's no wrong way to do it. I am gonna have to talk to Kramer though a little bit about drafting so many Giants. I mean, man, he just gets crazy with it. And I'm gonna be doing draft day with him. I'll be there the whole 24 hours as well. Should be on the live stream for bare minimum 12 hours of it, but I'll be jumping on whenever he needs me to. So it's going to be a long day, but I'm definitely going to have to talk to him throughout the 24 hours and be like, man, you gotta lay off a little bit. I mean, diversify the portfolio for sakes.
Oh, man, it feels like somebody's got to hit. It feels like somebody's got to hit there, though. My bet, I've been putting some late-round dart throws in the Kadarius Toney. He's not someone I've been drafting in Dynasty or anything like that. His off the field, you know, just missing practice due to equipment issues, personal issues, kind of continuing into this season as well, having some disgruntledness in the locker room. It's a little concerning for me for just a second year player. That's when you think you'd be trying your hardest and behaving the most. But man, the potential, you saw it last season in just a couple games. So he's definitely my late round dart throw. Kenny Golladay, that was such a rough season, and I was looking for him to be dominating camp. Like, you know, I'd just be dominating these New York Giants cornerbacks. That's not what we're hearing, though. The camp reports have said he's struggling to get target separation, and so that I was actually getting a pretty high exposure to Kenny Golladay early on in the summer, but I've been avoiding these last couple of weeks just because it's a little concerning to me that he's not doing well in Giants practice.
Yeah, no. I totally agree. It was actually funny this morning. I saw somebody post a video and said Kenny Golladay looks awful at camp, and I think they were actually throwing shade at Daniel Jones because the throw was like way off kilter. It was way in front of Golladay. So I'm gonna try to not read into it that much. Again, I do like Golladay. I think Kadarius Toney obviously has shown that he can't stay healthy, even in college. You know, he was getting injured. So if Tony, for some reason, is out for the season, I think Golladay could be a big winner for you, especially where he's going currently right now in ADP. So I like Golladay. I'll still continue to draft him. I think right now my exposure is like 13% on him, so it's not high, but I'd like to maintain that throughout my drafts, keep it around that, because I do think that the Giants are going to have to throw the ball a lot. And again, you know, I think Golladay is a good talent if he can stay healthy and, you know, get some sort of connection with Dan Jones, as Kramer now calls him.
You know, it's funny. I did my underdog draft this morning, but I shouldn't have done it because I was setting up for this. I was nervous. I don't know why I popped in, and I auto picked Kenny Golladay. So there's getting a little bit more Kenny Golladay exposure for me. That's fun though. Yeah. These underdog drafts, like I said, are too addicting. I'd roll out of bed and start one. My job doesn't love it. Sometimes I'm behind the bar doing a few underdog drafts, but moving on here, we were kind of talking about the difference between the larger entry leagues and being in 100 leagues or, you know, compared to being in 10 leagues. But, you know, there's plenty of different formats as well. We have your on underdog, you have your standard. You can be in 3-team leagues. You can be in like 6-team leagues, 10-team leagues, 12-team leagues. And then you can be in those larger entry ones where, you know, the prize is $2 million. It's $1 million. And, you know, there's 100,000 people in it. Do you have some different strategies that you try to take on as opposed to, you know, when you're just in a 12-team underdog draft, you and just 11 other players versus a bigger prize pool, you're drafting against 80,000 to 100,000 other people?
So yes and no. To be fully honest, like, I don't do many that aren't the big entry ones, man. I'm shooting for the moon. I mean, spending $20 on a 12 person draft that's going to net me 50 something bucks. Like, I mean, I can't retire on that. So I'm trying to shoot for the moon. But I have obviously done a few, for research purposes and, obviously to get ready for, regular redraft leagues as well. I hate doing any kind of mock draft. It doesn't hold my attention because I know it's for nothing. So at least if I'm doing it this way, you know, I'm trying to win a few bucks, it's all right. So honestly, I don't change it up too much. I guess I don't prioritize stacking as much though. That's probably one of the biggest things is in the, you know, big entry tournaments. Obviously when you get to the end of the season, you want to try to correlate, you want to try to have those stacks. Someone's a team, goes on fire week 17, you have as much exposure to that team as possible. In these ones that you don't need to beat so many people at the end of the year, I don't worry about that too much. But outside of that, no, I kind of just draft them same way. I'm drafting how I draft all the time because I believe in my rankings, my tiers. So, you know, I kind of stick to it. Do you feel the same way?
You know, I differ up my strategy a little bit. I'm glad you said that mock. I cannot. I join mock drafts And then I'm just, then I have an attention span of a squirrel. And then, so I, then I end up getting auto draft. I'm like, I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. You know, I just, it just can't hold my attention. Oh. I cannot mock draft.
It's
I hate it. I can't do it. Underdog $3 drafts. If you want to, if you want to do, just mock drafts, go to the underdog $3 drafts. It at least holds your attention and is a better indicator because, like I said, plenty of people are like me. Everyone's getting auto drafted. It's, you know, you're drafting against computer bots. It's not a good indication. I think you go to these underdog drafts, you're going to get some sharp drafters as well. But I differed up a little bit. I was telling you that I do, that I like to assume I'm right in the early rounds and don't like to hedge my bets too much. I should say, you know, if I'm drafting Cam Akers in the fifth round, I'm probably not targeting Darrell Henderson because I'm just assuming I nailed that. Cam Akers is going to be great. That's what I'm assuming when I draft that team. But yeah, especially, but I think it's extra important when you're in these larger entry leagues, you're trying to maximize potential. If you're, there is no chance if Saquon Barkley goes down with an injury, there is zero chance that you are winning $1 million with him in your lineup. So I just like to assume I'm right. If you draft whoever you're drafting in the early rounds, assume that they are going to be playing 16 or 17 games or at least, you know, 15 and you are rocking and rolling. If you, when you hedge your bets too much, I think, you know, you're losing that kind of potential high end, and that's what you're going to need to, you know, to beat, because it's, you know, the odds to win are crazy. You know, you're, you got to win your 12 team league in the 14 weeks, and then you go into another 110 person tournament. And then you got to be that one who goes into another 110 person tournament. So the odds of winning are long shot anyway. I definitely like to assume I'm right. But also, you know, like you would definitely want to get more, like that's when you want to get a little bit more unique possibly, you know. Maybe I would never advocate going double tight end early, but if, you know, if in an underdog draft, you know, in the, in those bigger entry leagues, you know, if Travis Kelce and Mark, you know, that's unlikely probably compared to where their ATPs are. But if you end up with Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, you know, maybe they light up this year. Maybe like they both have 1,300 yards. And you know, if that's the case, that's good that, you know, but you are right in it. You can definitely, you are right in it to win it. So it's just, yeah, like I said, you can get a little bit more unique there. I certainly get a little bit more eccentric in those lineups versus 12 team leagues. You know, you're going up, you have a lot higher chance to win. I'm fine. You know, if Cam Akers goes down and you can plug in Darrell Henderson and you still have a good chance to win a 12 team league. So I could say that's the biggest difference for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. You mentioned, you know, you said Kelce and Andrews. You said, oh, you probably can't do that. You can, but you really got to not be stuck on ADP. You know, if you're pick 10, 11, 12, you can take Kelce and Andrews. Obviously, you're taking way up on Andrews, but it's possible. And I forget who it is on Twitter, but I've seen him do it like multiple times now where he has taken Kelce, Andrews, came back around in 3-4 turn and took Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And I was like, man, I was like, that's so interesting because there's going to be not that many people who do that because nobody wants to draft tight end like that. And then to go and take quarterback right away, you're taking no running backs and no wide receivers through four rounds. Like that's a little insane to me. But I mean, it could definitely work. I mean, his teams don't end up bad, but to me, it would just, it would make me so nervous because I'm like trying to scrounge for the best wide receiver and running back I can possibly get. And it might take me off of my ADPs a little bit, which is fine. But at the same time, it just, it's, you got to have some gumption knowing that you're taking number one and two tight end and possibly the, you know, 2-3, 3-4 quarterback. So, I mean, it's interesting to do it. I've seen it happen, but it's more of a rarity than people probably think.
You know, I understand the tight end because you could start them both. You can put one of them in your flex position, but that the double tap on quarterback there, that doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, you are maximizing your quarterback play. That is for sure. But I mean, yeah, I mean, most of those guys' great weeks are just going to be cannibalized by the other one. You're not going to be able to play the other one. So that doesn't quite make sense. I mean, I think that's a little bit more viable in a smaller league. Like we were saying, 12 team league, I promise if that is a puppy bowl or something like that, there is zero chance that person is going to win, in my opinion. But if, like I said, in the 12 team league, you can get away with that. You know, you're drafting, you can hit on some back end guys. I think that's a little bit more likely, but I still don't love it. That's something I would never, ever do. When I draft Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes in the 4 or 5, I'm betting on them starting almost every week for me. And I'm drafting one quarterback at the end of the draft, like Daniel Jones, Matt Ryan, somebody like that to just if Mahomes or Lamar Jackson bust a couple weeks out of the year or on a bye week.
Yeah. And honestly, like the biggest reason why I don't like doing tight end like that, or, you know, tight end, quarterback, tight end, is that it kind of takes it out of being able to take a value at tight end in the draft. You know, if you're taking two elite tight ends, you're probably not taking a third, or at least you shouldn't. I mean, there's really no reason to, you know. So it's, if there's something that happens where a tight end falls to you, like last week I had taken Dalton Schultz in like ADP 90 something. He's ADP. He was like 30 picks behind ADP. Just nobody was taking him. I passed him up multiple times. And finally I got to the point, I'm like, okay, I can't let this go. Like, yeah. How many people are going to get him in the 90s? So, you know, it's, but if I would have had two tight ends, I just would have kept on passing them, because there's just no reason to take a third when you already have two elite ones. So it really messes up the ability to take a value at one of those positions if you go hot and heavy at the start of the draft.
That's a great position. That's a great take, because yeah, I found myself in positions where, you know, yeah, there's a quarterback tumbling down the draft. There is a tight end tumbling down the draft. And man, I'm like, ah, I drafted Lamar Jackson. I drafted Travis Kelce. I can't do this. You know, I have to keep just drafting wide receivers because I punted the position. So that's one thing I've noticed, especially when I'm drafting quarterbacks, is that if I take Lamar Jackson early, man, it's just like I'm staring at Matthew Stafford or Tom Brady in the 10th round. It's like, I could have had them like five rounds later. In my drafts where in the puppy drafts and the larger entry ones, that's another one where I'm more apt to take a Lamar Jackson, just because, man, he could just, you know, if he has over 1,000 yards rushing, you know, he might just power your way to the $1 million. But in a regular 12-team draft, I do find it just a little bit more viable strategy to wait on quarterback. I prefer that Trey Lance, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford kind of tier. They're all fairly close in ADP in that kind of 8 to 9 round. Maybe 7 to 9 round range. It kind of varies from draft to draft, but that's usually the lineups I'm most happy with. Ones that I hit running back and wide receiver pretty hard early in the draft, ended up having, you know, at least a couple of each by round 6 or 7.
No, totally agree. And you know, I think you hit on it about taking, you like your team when you take wide receiver and running backs early. You know, I feel like there's a bigger drop off from them in the later rounds than there is the quarterbacks or the tight ends. You know, it's tight end. You hear people say great or late, you know, take one of the great ones or just wait, because statistically, I think it's from anywhere from tight end 6 to like 14, you know, they're within a couple points of each other on a weekly basis, or, you know, maybe within 20 points throughout the whole season. So to me, there's really no reason to reach on a, you know, maybe tight end 7, 8, 9, when you could just wait and take 12, 13, 14, maybe 3 or 4 rounds later. Same thing with quarterback. You know, I don't mind waiting on quarterback because there's guys there that I like to pair up. You know, I'm a Commanders fan, so by nature, I don't mind drafting Wentz because I believe more in the team. But again, I don't want him as my lead dog. You know, I don't mind him as my second or potentially third, but obviously, again, never fourth. PSA, do not draft 4 quarterbacks. I cannot say that enough. So again, I think that's an interesting strategy to go with.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I totally agree. I don't mind drafting Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews, and Travis Kelce early, maybe even Darren Waller and George Kittle if they fall down maybe a little bit in ADP. But I really don't like that, you know, the Dalton Schultz to TJ Hockenson to Dallas Goedert range. I don't think you're getting a lot of value over replacement compared to what you can get. I love Zach Ertz in round 9 and 10. That's been a big one I've been hammering. Albert O in the 13th or 14th round. That's pretty automatic for me, especially if I'm only had drafted, if I'm a little weak at tight end at that point. I just don't, you know, you see only 3 or 4 tight ends usually every single season provide really great value, maybe even just 1 or 2 really great value over replacement. Even Darren Waller last season, they, you know, just a couple points over the tight end, you know, 12 points per game. I don't think it provides much advantage either.
How crazy at tight end do you like to get towards the end of the draft? Like so this year I've really kind of honed in on it, but I'm taking guys that I don't think are being drafted in every draft, such as like Mo Alie-Cox. I like his situation this year. tall dude. You know, Matt Ryan through his career has loved using the tight end. So I think he's going to kind of fall in love with how big Mo Alie-Cox is, how strong he can be in the end zone. So I'm taking him. Greg Dulcich, who is, you know, Albert O's counterpart, obviously. I don't mind taking the shot on him. He's not the guy who's going to be in there blocking. It's going to be Albert O. So will Albert O be on the field more? Yeah, most likely. But if they find that Dulcich has better hands than Albert O, or that Wilson likes him a little bit more, I'd rather take the shot on him way late. You know, my last pick as my third tight end, if I'm going to take one of those builds and take those guys. So are you finding that you're taking any of those maybe not always drafted like tight ends at the end?
Man, you know, the only one that I can say that I've been targeting is your Commander's boy, Logan Thomas. I've been, you know, when I get to the end of drafts, if I need another tight end, if I like the value, he's been a guy I've been drafting. You know, he doesn't get drafted in every single draft. He's somebody I get round 17 or 18 sometimes. You know, we've seen the ceiling with him, Carson Wentz. I think, you know, he's going to need a safety blanket. If Logan Thomas comes back healthy, and especially, you know, in the second half of the season, he's definitely someone who has the potential in that round to be a difference maker. The other guys, I probably have zero exposure to those guys, and I've done a lot of drafts. I probably should get some Mo Alie-Cox shares. I just haven't been thinking. He's not been too far on my radar this year, but if that offense is fantastic, he has the capability of falling in the end zone 8 times, which, you know, if he could definitely be in your lineup a few weeks if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, again, like this approach is just usually for like my third tight end, or if I draft Kelsey and just ignore tight end throughout the rest of the draft and just need to take one, you know, to cover bye week or something, I'll take a shot on any of these guys. You know, there's a lot of people for their last pick usually like to correlate with a, you know, your stacking potential for, you know, if you have a quarterback and want to take just a off the wall wide receiver. Like if I take Justin Fields, I like to take Velus Jones a lot. I've taken N'Keal Harry, you know, once or twice now as well. So I know. Yeah. Don't look at me like that. It's not optimal, but again, like there's not going to be many people who draft that. I want to be a little unique at the very end, just in case I get into the big dance and week 17, N'Keal Harry puts up 3 touchdowns and nobody has them, but I do. So I want to be a little unique. So it's either take one of those off the wall wide receivers or one of those not drafted tight ends usually.
All right, before I tell him 2 better players to take than N'Keal Harry in the last round, I'm going to remind you about Draft Day 2.0, and you're going to be in it if I believe, right?
Yep, I'll be in it the whole 24 hours.
I love it. Fabulous. Well, you'll be seeing a lot of Andrew. It's Ryan Real Money Kramer will be drafting fantasy football best ball teams for 24 hours straight. The drafting starts on August 9th at noon Pacific. The crew will be raising money for Daryl, a loyal listener who was injured in a motorcycle accident. You can draft with Ryan and a ton of special guests, including Andrew here. All the details at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draftday. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draftday. We are also brought to you by IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why using IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes your virtual invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed, your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to IPVanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's IPVanish.com/SGP. And I don't know why you would take N'Keal Harry in round 18 or 17 when you could take Ashton Doolin and James Proche. the hype monsters coming out of training camp who are actually having positive camp reports. Those are guys, especially if I draft Lamar Jackson. I love James Prochet in that last round. I've been drafting a ton of Ashton Doolin in round 18 over the last couple of days. Just hearing the Colts. Like I said, just hearing the Colts practice, what's coming out of there. He's making a big play every single practice. And he hasn't been drafted a lot yet. And I think his ADP, once we start getting into end of August, I think he's going to be a guy that you see going in round 14 or 15. So I'm going to take my exposure in round 18 now.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think we're doing the same thing. We just obviously have conviction on different players. So, again, it's, you know, I only take Harry and Velus Jones if I take Justin Fields. I'm not going to take a squirrely wide receiver way at the end if I don't have the quarterback. Same thing like with Allen. I'll take the rookie Shakir. He's probably a little bit more drafted because, you know, of course, everyone thinks Allen's going to be, you know, Jesus on ice skates out there this year. So I think he's going to be completely fine. But there's definitely some wide receivers towards the end of the draft. And actually running backs too, that I don't mind stacking, that are, you know, the round 17 or 18 guys that I'll take a shot on. Who are some of your favorite late round, you know, both running back and wide receivers to take? Who are you most exposed on?
You know what? Let me pull it up here. Give me 2 seconds. The Underdog app is fantastic for this because I can just answer this question right away. It doesn't even have to be something I have to think about. I can just pull up my most exposed players right now. If it pulls up. Okay. My most exposed player in Underdog is Curtis Samuel. You ought to love this as a Commander.
There you go.
35% of drafts. He actually, I wasn't thinking about him, but he is a player. When I see him popping up, I see potential in that round 16 range. I've been drafting a lot of him. This Kenny Golladay is still at 29%. I drafted a lot of him at the beginning of the season. Like I said, I'm a little regretting a little bit of that now. I'd like to see more camp reports, but he's being paid like he is the lead wide receiver in that offense. Donovan Peoples-Jones, this guy really like, great camp reports. It just really depends on Deshaun Watson. If Watson's out there the second half of the season, I think we're going to see a lot of big games. If it's Jacoby Brissett, maybe it's nothing. But you're getting him for free. Most of the time, he's risen in ADP the last couple weeks. But I was getting him a lot in that kind of round, kind of 17 or 18 range early on. And I know it's not exactly a late round, but Alan Lazard, 27%.
Yes.
I've been hitting that all off season. I think he's going to have a great year. I just can't see him not returning on ADP.
Yeah, no, 100% on Alan Lazard. I wrote an article about a month and a half ago or so, and I highlighted Lazard. He was like 25, 30 positions left on ADP than he currently is now. You know, he was down the board even more than he is now. Like, where he is now is still value to me. I love Lazard. He's going to be able, I think it was like 270 some targets are available now with Adams and MVS gone. So I love Lazard. I like Romeo Dubs as well. And I know we're going to talk about him a little later on if we get to the news. So I pulled up my exposure while you were talking here, and my top five guys. And again, there's only one of them that are really late. It's Tyrion Davis-Price, the running back for San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I like Elijah Mitchell. He's a guy I've drafted some of as well, but you know, I think we've seen through Kyle Shanahan's career that he likes to use multiple backs. So I love TDP. I mean, that's somebody I'm 33% drafted on it, and that's going to go higher. I mean, I can't quit him. He's like LaVisca Chenault for me the past 2 years. I just can't quit him. So he's the guy I have the most exposure. Actually, he's tied with Cole Kmet as well for me.
I love it. Fabulous. Hey, you know what? I'll tell you, I made all this content today. We just rattled it off. We ran out of time. I didn't even get through the show sheet. We had so much to talk about. I love it. That's certainly, actually, I think a better problem, not getting to quite everything than being 30 minutes in and being out of stuff to talk about. So what we might do, I guess, is we'll just tackle a bunch of training camp news next week. I think we will be doing a podcast every week for as long as they let us. And we will tackle a bunch of training camp news next week. We will tackle, I had positional strategies on the, we talked actually quite a bit about that, kind of our positional strategies, but maybe we'll dive a little bit into that. Just talk about specifically our quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end strategies. We'll get to the camp hype. It's Romeo Dubs, Sky Moore time, Kareem Hunt. is requested a trade. That's a big one for those maybe just listening tomorrow over the weekend. We'll see if that happens. I don't know how many teams are looking for a running back, but that is a potential game changer who could, if he goes to Miami Dolphins, sorry, Chase Edmonds owners, but yeah, it was a great first show. Just easy. Just man, I thought that went way smooth. I was really nervous to get started, but it was definitely a lot of fun. How'd you feel?
Yeah, I think actually this went pretty smooth. Again, you know, we talked enough that we didn't even get to everything we wanted to talk to. And again, yeah, I was worried that we weren't going to be able to fill up enough time. And we just kind of got off on a tangent, which is awesome. This is what I love about fantasy football, you know, talking to people about strategies, about players. You know, I do it with my buddies all the time when we sit around, drink some beers. We're just constantly talking about fantasy. So it's awesome. You know, fantasy is great. Best ball is great. So I'm very excited to continue these shows here. And, you know, again, you can find us on Twitter at Sports Gambling Podcast, at SGPN Fantasy Football. Are we going to pull up our own Twitter for the best ball, or are we just going to link in with Fantasy Football?
You know what? That's one of those things we're going to learn. We'll slowly, but you can find what's your Twitter handle for the listeners?
It's at my first initial last name. So at A Rob. So it's A-R-A-U-B 23. Yeah, I mean, that's really all I use is Twitter and Discord. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, but you know, got to follow me there.
I'm not on Facebook or Instagram. Twitter and Reddit are mine. You can follow me at Dynasty_Analyst on Twitter and just Dynasty Analyst on Reddit. It was a great first show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Type in that promo code on Underdog if you haven't used it before, that SGPN promo code. You can deposit up to $100 and they will match that. Yeah, great first show, Andrew. Thanks for joining and hosting. I don't know what I'm saying. We're both going to be hosting this every week. It's going to be fantastic. I'm definitely looking forward to the next one. Like I said, I was super nervous to get started, but I think now this is going to be super easy. Got some chemistry going, and we will see y'all next week. Thank you so much.